This was kind of interesting because about a month ago, God put this on my heart to just kind of make this, prepare this Bible study, and just this message. And I kind of said to God, why? You know, I don't lead a Bible study. I don't teach a Bible study. I don't have an opportunity to present it. But he said, don't worry about that. And literally the next morning, Scott contacted me saying that they were going to be in Mexico for their 10th anniversary, and he wanted me to do something for Revival. And so it was just too perfect. God lined that up where he had already put the message on my heart before I even had the opportunity or the option to teach anything. And then so I gave this message to Revival that night, and then I still kind of felt like it wasn't done. I felt like there was still more to it, and I didn't know if it was more in my heart or if I was going to do something more with it. And then the next night, Pastor Steve called me and said, can you do men's breakfast? And so it's interesting how God brought this whole thing about. It's the same framework that I taught at Revival, but God put a totally different focus on it, which I think is really cool. And that's the thing that makes God so awesome, that every time we cover the same verse, he points out a different thing to us or gives us a different focus. So this message is just called Distraction and Hearing God's Voice. How do we hear God's voice? So I have a little clip here, and I'm hoping that we have sound for it. Should be no problem, but we'll see.
All right, time to read my Bible. Well, there's one at 8:45, but if we go at 7, we can go back to my house and make cookies. Dude, who cares what Rotten Tomatoes said? Didn't you watch the trailer? It's gonna be sick, dude. Trust me. All right. Dude, just come. I'll pick you up. You're gonna ask your mom. You're like 20 years old. Okay, I'm gonna be there in 15 minutes. Oh, and bring that jacket I let you borrow, you little thief. Wait, why doesn't mine turn on? Let's play some Bible roulette. Daniel, looks interesting.
God sees them. Take them to the furnace.
Oh no!
I got a red box.
Oh, did you get Tintin?
Muppets.
Freaking Muppets? Oh, this is actually pretty good. Oh, Bible study in 30 minutes. Plenty of time to do the homework. Let's see.
I need some inspirational music.
You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of
church. Oh gosh.
So man, how's your Bible reading going? It's the distractions, isn't it? You need to get your head in the game.
So what do you suggest I do?
Well, first you better pray that God doesn't strike you dead.
Cool. And then, you know, you can just start getting rid of the distractions and stuff.
And you can start with that.
No, he's not a distraction. I mean...
Well, yeah, but it's disturbing having Justin Bieber on your wall.
So I think we laugh because it's true. It's one of those things where one of those little distractions isn't bad, but when you put it all together, we don't give God a chance to speak. Psalm 50, verse 7 says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak." It's pretty clear cut. God's saying, "Listen, and then I will speak to you." It's not, "I'm going to keep talking, and eventually you'll listen to me." And my question is, how often do we miss perfection because we're not paying attention? Literally, we're just not listening. And God's saying, "Just listen, and then I will speak." He's giving us his word in that. He's giving us his promise that he will come through and speak to us. He's not going to leave us stranded. Job 33:31-33 says, "Pay attention, Job, and listen to me. Be silent, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak up, for I want to vindicate you. But if not, then listen to me, be silent, and I will teach you wisdom." To me, this is such a cool verse. Once again, God says he will speak. He gives us that promise again. But it also shows that God wants to hear from us. If we have something to say, he's going to listen to us. It's not just a one-way conversation. He wants that relationship over anything. I have another little clip here that I want to show. I don't really promote this show, but this clip, I think, says it all. So here we go.
We promote it.
I kind of do.
Lewis, mom, mommy, mama, ma, mom, mommy, mama, mama.
What?
Hi.
I think Scott knows particularly what that feels like. I just question, though, do we make God do this to us? Or do we expect him to do that? Do we expect him to sit and literally just pound us over and over and over and over until we actually pay attention? And I think a lot of times God doesn't want us to have that heart. Sometimes, yeah, he will slam us over, you know, upside the head and get our attention. But most of the time, he says right here, "Hear first, listen first, and then I'll speak." So I wonder how many times we're expecting God to do that, and we're just, God's doing that. God's speaking to us over and over, or he's waiting for us to listen. And then we give the excuse, "Well, I never hear God's voice." And we just completely miss it because we're not paying attention. We're not giving him the opportunity to speak. In Ecclesiastes, it says, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what the evil that they do. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words." And I underlined in here, draw near to hear. Because when God uses that silent voice, that little whisper, we need to be close to hear it. We need to have our heart prepared for it. And something really cool to me in this is that God prefers a relationship over empty obedience. Because the Israelites, through most of the Old Testament, were very good about giving the offering. But the question was, where was their heart in it? God prefers having a relationship with us rather than just that continual sacrifice, that continual just empty obedience. So it requires our heart to be open, or it requires our heart to just have a willingness to hear God. In Exodus, he says, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, If you pay attention to his commandments and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And this just once again points to this is more than just following the rules. There's more to it. It's not like every other religion where it's follow the rules and is, you know, follow the rules the best you can and then hope you're going to be okay. God wants more than that. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to speak to him. He wants a relationship. How would other relationships in our life work if we didn't listen, if we didn't pay attention? Our wife, our work, our boss, our coach, our pastor, etc. We know that we have to listen to our boss, otherwise we're going to get fired. At the same point, we know we have to listen to God, otherwise we're going to go to hell. We need to have that relationship. There's even more weight on that. That should be number one. Yet so often we treat it like it's something totally different. We treat it like a totally different relationship. In John 10:27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And this verse just kind of reminds me of when you're like a little kid and you're playing with your friends and, you know, the whole group of kids goes running off and then the mom yells your name. You know that voice. The other kids don't even hear it, but you know your mom's voice. And most of the time you turn around and you're in trouble. But the question is, do we know what God's voice sounds like? We know our moms. Do we know God's? I mean, he created us, he created the world, everything around us, but so often we get confused and say, well, I don't know if that was God, or I don't hear God, or I wish God spoke more audibly, more clearly to me. But I mean, he tells us right here, he will speak. He will give us that map. In Romans, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So my question as I was going through this was, how do I hear God's voice? What do I do? Is it a late night drive just by myself in my truck, windows down, no music? Is it in worship? Is it reading the Bible? What do we do? And that's something I want each one of us to ask ourselves. What do we do to hear God? And how can we go back to that spot? Like the distraction video showed, there's so many things going on. We can't go a minute without getting a text or TV or, you know, the next big play in football or what, family, kids. We don't ever have time where God can literally just speak to us. And then we say, God, why don't I hear you? Why don't you speak to me? And we almost throw it back on God like he's coming short, like he's not following through with his promise. And we know he will if we give him the opportunity. In 1 Kings, it says, "And he said, Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountain and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him saying, What are you doing here, Elijah?" And this is such a cool picture, because so often in life we have that earthquake, we have that fire, we have that wind that rips the rocks right off the face of the mountain. And God's not in that. He's in the whisper that comes right after that. How often do we miss it because we're so focused on the earthquake? We're so focused on the fire. Literally, I think a lot of times it just passes me by, because I'm not paying attention to that whisper that comes right after that. It just proves that God's in the silence. He's not in the chaos of this life. He's not in the tragedy. He's not in that. He's always with us, but he comes to us individually, personally. As men, we're called to be the spiritual leaders. And that's what God, the role that God has given us for our families, for our own selves, for any calling that God's given us to, we're supposed to be the spiritual leader. And I kind of relate this to asking for directions. Like, at what point do we get lost to where we ask for directions? Is it only when we're lost? I mean, think about the Israelites walking around in the desert for 40 years. I think about all the times that I pretend like I know where I'm going, even though I'm lost. And I know Scott can relate to me on this one. But the question is, do we wait until we're so lost that we have no hope? Or do we consult the map? I mean, God literally has given us the map. He will speak to us. It's kind of like the GPS in the car, where when we first get the GPS, we love the lady that gives us the direction turn by turn. But then about 3 days into it, we get sick of it and we turn it off. And it's still there. And then all we have to do is look at it. But then sometimes we know the way. We don't need to look at it. And then we get lost. And the question is, do we do that to God? Do we turn off his voice and only make him something that we can look at when we need it? And then when we do need it, do we look at that? Or do we go to the gas station and ask the guy for help? I just wonder how much we go around needlessly wandering. You know, how much heartache, how much stuff we go through unnecessarily because we're not listening. When God says he will speak, he will give us that direction, he will give us that guidance. But as men, I know I'm guilty of just being, I got it. I got it, God. Thank you for giving me that job. Now I got it. You know, I can take it from here. Thank you for providing, but I got it. Do we give God a chance to be heard? I mean, do we put ourselves in those situations where we can actually hear God's voice? Or are we always surrounded by the football game and by the kids and by work, by the phones, by the iPods, by everything? I find myself, I'm really into big, like, really big into Christian music. But it can be a stumbling block. It can be great up to a certain point, but if I'm always listening to it and God can't speak through it, if God doesn't have that silent period that he needs to speak to me, too much of a good thing sometimes can be a bad thing. As much as AMPM doesn't believe that. So my question to us as men is, we have the map. God's given us the map. They're everywhere. We have a whole stack of them here, all filled. He's given us the map. Do we use it? Or do we just try driving while it's sitting on the passenger seat and not consult it until we're lost to the point we don't even know where we are on the map anymore? A couple weeks ago, I think it was 2 weekends ago, we did what was called a SWAT treasure hunt. And this was with another church from Irvine. One of our good friends, Zach Lucas, leads a group over there. And he's very much into evangelism and just witnessing. And he planned this event that was kind of a spiritual, Holy Spirit-led treasure hunt, where we went to the Spectrum. And it was one of those things where the whole point of it was to sit down and pray before we went out. Just pray, God, give me something. And we had a little map. We had a little treasure map that had a person's name, a description, a color, or just anything that God gave to you. So we just took about 5 minutes to pray and just have God give us something. And I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't like going up to new people. I hardly like going up to people I know. So going up to new people, especially to bring Christ, is something way out of my comfort zone. Going into it, I was trying to come up with an excuse the whole morning that I wouldn't go. But everything was so stupid, and since I'm the event leader of Revival, I kind of felt like I had to be there. But every excuse that came to my mind was just pathetic. There's no way I could have told Zach, oh, I can't come because of this. So that was my attitude going into it, and then we prayed. And God, it was amazing. God gave each one of us there were 10 of us. He gave each one of us very specific images or words or names. And I got Asian man, and I said, like Scott, because he kind of looked like Scott. And I saw this vision of this kid. I saw upper body, but I knew that they were like on wheels, but they weren't moving. So it was one of those things where I knew it wasn't like a skateboard or, you know, or anything like rollerblades or anything like that. But I knew that they were on wheels. So I wrote that down, and I had no idea what that meant. And then we finish up our five-minute prayer and just time to concentrate on God. And I look over, and Zach on his paper has Asian man and is his first thing. Now, we're in the spectrum, so it's not that big of a stretch. We're going to run into a few. But his was much more specific. His said Asian man with over-the-head headphones. It's like the big ones that go over your head. He said a blue jersey and a black hat. And I looked at Zach, and I was like, well, we got Asian man, but I think you're kind of, you know, my first reaction was you're kind of limiting God. That's a really specific thing to be looking for. Asian man is much more open. So I know in my heart that God created me and this world and everything, and he has all the power. And I know that he's the same God that he was in the Old Testament and in Acts, and that he has that power, but I was pretty skeptical. Did I think he was going to do it on that day? I wasn't sure. And that was kind of making it sound good. I didn't think it was going to really happen. I was kind of expecting it to be just kind of one of those days where we just went out and, yeah, maybe God worked through it. Maybe he didn't. So anyway, so I look at Zach's paper. The second one he has a wheel drawn. And he said, train wheels. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Our first two match up pretty similarly, except he has some more description and we each have a little bit of different description. And so we split up into teams of three, and we go out into the spectrum. And it's just like, okay, we'll just go and look for these things on the map. And God gave us this map. We wrote it all down while we were sitting over there, and we just had it. And we were just following it around. Okay, we'll look for the train wheels, or we'll look for the Asian guy with over-the-head headphones. And we walk about 200 feet or so right out of the food court into the next courtyard there. And walking right at us is an Asian man with over-the-head headphones, a blue jersey, and a black hat. And literally, we had to move to get out. Like, we were going to collide. And I couldn't believe, it was just total, just chills. Just total goosebumps. Like, God gave that sign right off the bat to just say, look, I'm here. This is not ridiculous. This is not some stupid game. I'm here. And Zach grabbed him. He's done this a lot. He's really good at this. And he says, you know, I'm doing this treasure hunt, and I'm looking for an Asian man with over-the-head headphones, a blue jersey, and a black hat. And he just phrased it like that. And then the guy kind of, you realize, like, that's, okay, that's me, what? And then he's like, okay, he's like, do you know Christ? And he's like, whoa, no. And Zach, he's like, you know, I'm good. And Zach's like, you know, he just plants a seed. He says, well, you know, that's fine. Jesus loves you, and we'll be praying for you. And the guy leaves. And to me, it was kind of like almost like a failure, and like, well, God, what the heck? It wasn't until afterwards that I realized that that was the seed that I needed to know that God was there that day and that he was working through this. And it was too specific. It's not happening just by coincidence. I mean, to have over-the-head headphones in the spectrum, it's bizarre anyways. That means you have no interest in, like, socializing or shopping or anything. You're just like, I don't know what he was doing. But it was just too perfect. And then we went the whole rest of the day for about another hour and a half, and I just didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any God, like Holy Spirit, tugging. I didn't see anything on the list. And it wasn't until about 15 minutes left, and this was the day that it was about 100 degrees, so we were dying. We didn't really come prepared for that. We didn't have much water or anything like that. So we were pretty exhausted by this point. We were just about to head back, and one of the girls with us had her thing was green frog. And so we were looking for a green frog all day, and we finally get down to the end of the spectrum, and there's a Hello Kitty store, which is full of green frogs, if you don't know that. But it was like, okay, perfect, green frog. So they went in there. We all went in there and just kind of scoping it out, you know, because that's all God gave her. And it was like, okay, let's see, like, is it the person working here? Is it somebody in here shopping? Is it, what's the deal? So after about 5 minutes, I was kind of like just feeling like I should go out and sit outside and just kind of wait out there for them. But another 5 minutes passed, and as they're walking out of the store, I look down the sidewalk, and literally there's a train driving at us. And I was like, well, there's our train on wheels. And they both turned, and it was like, it was incredible. I mean, what are the odds of seeing a train in the Spectrum? It turns out it's one of those like little rides there where they have like a couple carts and the kids get in it and it drives around the Spectrum. It's not on a track or anything. It's just like a little car that looks like a train. And I literally saw the kid that I had seen in the vision before. So the train was going off though. So we figured, okay, we'll go to where it ends. We went over there and the kid gets off. There's only the one kid and there's no one else in line. And I was like, okay, the kid was like two. You could tell they probably weren't going to speak English. So that was going to be a problem. And I was like, okay, well, this is weird. And so there's no one there. And then the kid that's driving the train, who's about 20, gets out. And we're like, okay, well, he's the only one here that this is going to work out for. So I guess, you know, so Zach's like, okay, take this one. It was the first one I had done, and I was nervous as all get out. And I did want to do it because I didn't want to just have done nothing that day. I really felt like, you know, God called me here, and he didn't give me any good excuse to not be there. And so I go up to the kid, and I say, you know, we're doing this treasure hunt. I'm looking for on wheels, and he has train wheels, and you're the first train we've seen all day. And so he kind of laughs at that, and we start in conversation a little bit, and I just say, is there anything we can pray for you for? And he's like taken back. Like, he's like, you could tell he was thinking in his mind, like, I thought you were doing a treasure hunt. Like, I don't see where you're going with this. And he steps back. He like kind of backs up a little bit. And then he's like, yeah, actually there is. And he's like, you know, I'm in community college, just wrapping that up. I'm applying for all these colleges right now. I'm working a lot. I don't like the job. I'm just super overwhelmed by it. And you could tell as he's telling us this, he's starting to cry. And this is a guy like 20. And so, you know, that's not typical. So I ask him, like, do you know Christ? And he says, yeah, I go to a church in Foothill out here. So he goes to a church right over here. And it was just so perfect that God called that whole day, that whole thing, months of planning that event, showing up, going, walking the whole Spectrum was for this guy, this Christian, not even to witness. That's what I thought it was going to be for, to witness to new, you know, to non-believers. Turns out this guy is a Christian that just really needed prayer that day. And the thing is, God loves us that much that he is willing to set that whole thing up. We planned that thing for months just for that prayer that lasted about 10 seconds. And then as we wrap up that prayer, we turn around and the girl with us is gone. And we're like, okay, what the heck? So Zach checks his phone and he got a text that said, I went into Macy's, just come in there when you're done. It turns out that as we're praying for this guy, this family, this dad with his little boy goes walking by, and the little boy had Down syndrome and had in his hand a little frog, a green frog that he was carrying. And so she knew, so she just took off and went after it. And she ended up catching up to them, and I guess the mom had joined the dad and the son. And she just caught up to them and, you know, said, you know, this is what we're doing, this is what I'm looking for, and your son has it. Is there anything we can pray for you for? And they both started crying. Just like she said it was the most incredible thing because they needed that prayer so bad. And they prayed for their son, who I guess was getting to the point where it's becoming really, really difficult to handle him and to deal with his disability. And they've been super just burdened by it. And they were Christians as well. And they just needed that prayer so badly that day that just the mention of it, just the mention, can I pray for you, literally just made them both just start bawling. And my point in this is just, one, that God can do amazing things. If we give him the opportunity, if we go to the Spectrum, he will do it. It's just a matter of, can we get out of our own way to actually show up? And two, he gave us the map. He spoke to us. We said, God, just tell us something. Oh, and also just a little side note, the guy's name was Scott, the guy on the train. So that was like, I had Scott written down. So it was even more like, it just hit, all of my checks got checked off literally with that guy. But God gives us that map. And if we actually give 5 minutes is all it took. 5 minutes, and we're in the food court. So it was super loud, and it was hard to focus, but he spoke to us. Each one of us got things, and each one of us had the same type of experience. And it was a map. He gave us the map. And as we were going, and, you know, you'd forget, what am I looking for again? And you'd look, and it was right there. It was written down. And you knew it was from God. And when we ran into it, it was like you knew that was the next stop on that map. So my question is, do we give that 5 minutes to God? It can be anywhere. It was in the food court. Big, tall ceilings, loud, all concrete, so it was echoing, hard to even focus. But God will speak through it. He gives us his word in that. He says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak." So we just need to do our part in that. Give God a chance, and he will speak in amazing ways. And I think we just go through life just kind of screwing it up. We try to do it on our own. We try to, you know, do the manly thing and say, "God, I got this. You know, thanks for getting me at this point. But now I'll take it from here, and then when I get lost, I'll consult my map again." And I just wonder how much we're missing out on that next stop because we're not even looking at the map he gave us. So with that, let's just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your promise, Lord. We know that you fulfill every promise that you give, and in here you specifically, through all these verses, throughout the whole Bible, tell us that you will come through, that you will speak to us. So I just pray that we get out of our own ways, Lord, that we give you an opportunity to hear how hard it is in this society with all the technology and all the chaos and busyness going around. And we just need to set aside even 5 minutes, Lord, just to have you lay out that next step on that map. We know that you'll do it. We pray that we give you that opportunity to lay that out, to draw that out for us, and that we keep it. That we don't throw that map away as soon as you give it to us. That we have it so we can remember where we're going, where you're calling us, and what you have called for us, Lord. We just pray for the rest of this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity where we can get together and just be in one spot, eating breakfast with a bunch of men and just meeting you, Lord, in a way that we wouldn't be able to meet you sitting at home. Just the awesome fellowship that you've provided here, Lord. We thank you for all that and for all the provisions you've given us. And we lift up all these things in your religious name we pray. Amen.